I think it's like, what is actually going to make you feel better, and go down the long term of what's going to make you feel better. Because there are answers like, not eating today is going to make me not feel fat anymore. Well, okay, but what's the long term effect of that? Like, if you don't eat, is that really loving yourself? Because then you're going to binge. You actually feel neglected. You're going to look at things all day, or offers of friends who ask you to go to dinner, and you're going to be like, no, because I'm committed to this, and this is how I'm going to feel better tomorrow. And it's kind of like, okay, how can you still like live your life and make sure that you are actually feeling better? So what would that look like in food? Could you actually eat something that's just more healthy so you feel good, so that you actually have calories for your brain? And I think that that's just something that, you know, can take a really long time to learn.
Lori Harder is a force of nature. The fitness model, author, and entrepreneur has a wild story. It's one I didn't even know. Lori's all about self-love, setting strong boundaries, and leaning into your energy to create the life you want. So we get into a lot on this show. We talk about Lori's background and how she went from an overweight kid to a fitness model. We talk about entrepreneurship and where boundaries fit in. And we also talk about how you can inject more self-love with your body, your mind, and your work. And we get into some fun stuff like being punk rock and going to the Vans Warped Tour. It's a fun show. Listen to the end for Lori's Vitamin Joy Challenge. It's so good. This episode is brought to you by two epic sponsors, FX Chocolate and Lazy Acres Grocery Stores. You'll hear about them in the episode. I'm Shelby Stanger, and this is Vitamin Joy. Lori Harder, welcome to Vitamin Joy. Stoked to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here.
So I'm really interested. You talk a lot about self-love, and having self-love is a huge tenet for Vitamin Joy. So maybe you could just talk to me a little bit about your journey toward self-love and discovery. You know, I'd love to talk. I know you're a fitness model. You're stunning. Maybe we could talk first about self-love with your body, and then I want to talk about, you know, self-love with business and more.
Oh man, the ever evolving question of what is self-love and how in the heck do you apply it to your life? because I think in order to even understand it, I think a lot of us, you know, when we start to get interested in what even is this self-love thing, it's probably because we went to like the extreme opposite end. And that was absolutely my case. And, you know, I think that for anybody who is going to kind of be on an evolving journey of not just like one big accomplishment in their life, you're going to have to figure out what this means to you. You know, in the beginning for me, self-love, because I was breaking a huge pattern of not doing anything, and you know, I really didn't accomplish anything, didn't graduate from high school, was overweight, like I was breaking a pattern of my family, like nobody really doing anything in their career, always struggling, bankruptcies. So to me in the beginning, self-love, and I didn't even know what I was doing there, but self-love really meant like getting some discipline, like love yourself enough to hold yourself accountable. And I had never really seen what accountability looked like. And trust me, if you would have asked me back in the day what I was doing, you know, through discipline, I would have never said it was self-love. But looking back, that's absolutely what it is holding myself to the standard in which I believe that I was sent to the earth to do. And
so this was in your 20s? Like, back up for a second. Give us a little background.
So little background. I am from a really small town in Upper Michigan. I was raised in a more restrictive religion. So I was homeschooled through high school, went door to door preaching about the Bible, and also wasn't allowed to hang out with anybody outside of my religion. So when I decided that, you know, my family's still in that religion, have so much respect for it, but it was not for me. So when I was 18 and decided to leave, I wasn't just making a decision to leave a religion. I was making a decision to leave my entire life, being, friends, everything. So you can imagine where that wound me up with, you know, not a whole lot of people around me and not a lot of great examples either, because, you know, from somebody who was already kind of struggling and then leaving, I went to the people who I felt like accepted me the soonest and quickest. And that unfortunately was a lot of people who were kind of like, in this world of just drinking and partying and couch surfing and all of those things. Well, mostly people surfing on my couch. So I actually did. I had like a steady place to live because I was actually one of the like more responsible, irresponsible ones. Just you're the most responsible out of your really irresponsible friends. So with that said, I was finding myself in this fight of my higher self and like my lower self, who is the only person that was actually making an appearance in real life. And for me, it was like I probably went 3 or 4 years into my 20s until I was about 23 or 24, where I just was like, I couldn't live this way anymore. I was finding that, you know, this lifestyle was really getting me into a lot of bad places, not just massive debt and crazy amounts of parking tickets, but also just insane things like waking up downtown by myself in Milwaukee in the bushes of a bank, like really crazy stuff. And just like, what is happening and how did I get here? And also knowing like at the same time that I'm like waking up in the bushes of a bank in downtown Milwaukee by myself, I literally am like, Lori, you are like meant to do something big in the world. Like, imagine that conversation, you seeing this girl come crawling out with her going out clothes on, like of these bushes, and being like, she's having the same thought, this thought at the exact same time of like, you're meant to do something big. What the hell are you doing? So I was in this constant fight with myself and didn't know how like to get myself out of this situation. And this is why a lot of the things that I talk about and teach are all about the people that you hang around, like the group of people that you're with, the tribe that you're with, the circle that you're with. That's really what all of the work that I did moving forward into my 30s was about. Like, you know, we have these bigger visions that we're called into, but most likely we're hanging around with the people who have limiting beliefs around something like our bigger vision. And we're really only going to go as far as the limiting beliefs of those people around us. Essentially that Jim Rohn quote of like, you're the sum of the five people.
I love Jim Rohn.
So good. Like, and that was such an epiphany for me that like, I'm never going to be able to, you know, the reason why I had to leave where I was when I was younger in the religion was because the beliefs were holding me back from the beliefs that I was feeling called to and the life that I was feeling called to. And while that might work for some people, if it's not working for you, you're going to have to make some tough decisions.
First of all, your story is amazing and I so appreciate you sharing it. I didn't know it. And second of all, how did you get the belief, like when you were young, that you could do something better? Like, where did that come from?
Oh, this is, you know, I will eternally ask this question to people who come on my podcast as well. Like, did you know you were going to do something big, or did you feel it? And I really, really wonder, and I want to argue this question. I'd love to ask you the same thing. Like, I just think we all have like this feeling, and I don't, there was nothing more than a feeling. So I wish I could have told you like it was something big, but I, you know, here was a couple ways that it came through for me. I would watch like gymnasts on TV and I would literally levitate. Like, I would feel like I have to do that. And I wasn't a gymnast, but I was just like, oh my God, there's something in me that wants to like be strong and like feel empowered. And that must feel so free. You must feel so free in your body. You must feel so confident. It was anything like that. Just even like X Games and Snowboarder Girls and all of the things, right? Like anything that was like that, my heart would just leap out of my chest. And I was like I couldn't breathe. Like, I just felt like that was something that I had to do. And that's really all I can explain to you, is it was just something that I felt like there was freedom there and expansion, and my life felt contracted. So I just wanted to follow where that, like, the energy was, right? Because most of my life I walked through with anxiety and a bit depressed, and that ran in my family, and watched a lot of people have panic attacks and depression and be on medication and all of the things and be overweight. And I think for me, it was just that feeling that came from watching that. We need to see it, right? Like, we need an example of it. And my example was magazines and TV, and I clung to those things. Like, when I figured out that was what kind of like gave me this like life or feeling or learning or hope, I just went bananas. Like, I literally bought all of the magazines, and I remember I had two closet doors in my bedroom, and I covered them from top to bottom with all fitness people, all athletic girls. Like, it's just all that I did was stare at these closet doors of like, what is possible?
Lori's advice and insight is so epic. We're going to get into more, but first I have to tell you about my friend's new company, FX Chocolate. They're about a year old. If you've been listening to this podcast, they've been supporting the show since day one, and they're amazing. FX Chocolate makes squares of keto-friendly, vegan, sugar-free dark chocolate packed with nutraceutical ingredients to help you perform your best. They come in individually packaged squares with blends like Immunity, which has reishi mushrooms, a blend called Exhale, just makes me like exhale while pronouncing it. It has L-theanine and GABA. And my favorite blend of theirs is something called Focus, because I'm a little ADHD, and it has ashwagandha in it. It works and it tastes great. It's an amazing way to take your vitamins because you eat them in squares of dark chocolate. They also have one with CBD and one with melatonin for a better night's sleep. So you can buy a blend of your favorite style or get a sampler pack at their website, which is fxchocolate.com. And if you enter code VITAMINJOY, that's one word, code VITAMINJOY at checkout, you'll get 20% off. fxchocolate.com, enter code VITAMINJOY. Okay, back to the episode. Wow. So then were you pretty young when you started getting into fitness modeling, I'm guessing? Like, how did that happen?
I didn't do that until I was probably 27. I wanted to be a gymnast, so I wanted to go do all these different classes. I wanted to be a dancer. But I wasn't allowed to, because I wasn't allowed to do anything that consisted of people outside of my religion. So when I was 18, first of all, I went off the deep end. And so it wasn't until, like I said, like 23, 24 that I was like, wait a minute, I want to start getting my life together. Like, what does some discipline look like? That I really started getting into like structured fitness. I did start working out at home, like to DVDs, literally when I was 13 years old. So I was working out to like, I had like this step aerobic workout video. I had a Cindy Crawford video, and I just like worked out to those. And so when I was 18, I did join a gym. It's the only thing that kind of like got me back into my body, meaning just like kind of got me present and made me feel grounded and made me feel somewhat normal again. And it was the thing that I noticed was helping me control my anxiety. It was making me feel better. So that had always been a staple, but it wasn't until I was like 26 that I was reading a fitness magazine. And I had always wanted to, at this point, like when competitions, fitness competitions started being aired on like television, I'd probably wanted to compete for like 6 years, but I had no idea how people do that. Like, this was before like Facebook, MySpace, like anything like that. Before there was even fitness competitions like on the internet, right? Like, you just didn't even know where to go for these things. And so I was reading a magazine, and there was this little article about this woman in Boston who was a coach who coached women to be in fitness competitions. And I was in Wisconsin at the time, and I'd gotten married probably 2 years before this. I ran off the stepper, ran to my husband. I was like, this woman teaches women how to do fitness competitions. And I like couldn't even breathe. And I was like, I'm doing this camp. Like, I'm going to this camp in Boston. I had never flown on an airplane by myself before. Like, I'd flown a few times before, but never by myself, especially like all the way to the like East Coast. This was a huge thing for me. And so I go by myself and I go to this fitness camp, and it was just like otherworldly. Cause imagine, I'm like from the Midwest, super down home, like kind of just like not very worldly. And go to Boston, all these fitness girls who are just like very East Coast, right? Like very like dominant and like placing in these fitness competitions. And I was like out of my mind, nervous and like fish out of water and everything in those moments of that week. I just wanted to go home. I wanted to cry. Like, I just felt very fragile, and it's not really how you want to feel. So I stuck it out though. I was just like, you know, if you want to do something different, you got to do something different. And I just remember being so uncomfortable and going home and like understanding that it was a moment of, instead of turning it into like a poor me, it was a moment of pride and like, wow, I did that. So that was a perspective that made me realize like, holy shit, I'm really proud of myself for doing that. And also, so this is kind of where it all started. I met a girl while I was out there. Kind of like me. I think she was more like Midwesty, and like, you know, we were kind of in the background and in the back row and all of the things throughout all the stuff that we had to do. And she was like, okay, I'm going to set this goal. We're going to do a fitness competition. You know, I live sort of by you. I'll do this one that's over here in Wisconsin. And so I'm all in. Like, I pay for the thing. It's 10 weeks away. We're totally going to be partners. And she drops out like 6 weeks in. And I was like, oh, hell no. So that was the moment. Like, I had already invested enough in it that it made me stay, right? I bought the freaking expensive suit, did all of the things. I was already like starting to diet down. I was like, no, we're in this. So I did have that week where I was like, what am I doing? This is so scary. Now I have to do it alone. But that was another moment for me that made me really realize, like, you got to invest something. Like, you got to put so much on the line that you are forced to show up. And that was just like so many learning lessons so fast that I've learned that, you know, fitness for me and those experiences have become a blueprint for my life and business and, yeah, all the things.
That is an interesting element of self-love, investing in yourself so that you have to show up. Like, I don't like losing money. So if I invest the money, I will show up, whether it's a fitness routine or a podcast course or whatever it is. So I appreciate you sharing that wisdom. Can I ask, what religion, are you able to say what religion you were?
We were Jehovah's Witness, and my family still is. But yeah, it was, you know what? It's been one of the most like amazing things for my life. And also when you're just clear, you're connecting in a different way. Mm. Yeah.
So interesting, Lori. Like, I'm blown away by your stories. More amazingness from Lori in a minute, but first, I want to tell you about Lazy Acres, who's also sponsoring this show. And since we're on the topic of self-love, part of my own journey to have more self-love has been fueling my body with nutritious organic food as often as possible. Lazy Acres Market is a local grocery store with 5 locations in Southern California who makes it really easy to do so. They always have the highest quality produce, wild-caught seafood, pasture-raised meats, and an amazing prepared food section and juice bar, which is beautiful and you definitely need to check out in person. It's Instagram worthy. They're also part of the 1% for the Planet Network, giving 1% of private label item sales back to local nonprofits who share their mission of making the earth a healthier, greener place. If you're in Southern California, you can find me at their Encinitas location. You can also check out lazyacres.com for weekly specials, exact store locations, their wellness blog, and more. All right, back to the show. So you've done the fitness modeling. You've been on the cover of all these magazines. Like, you do have this incredible success story. I'm guessing you're kind of close to my age now. I'm going to say you're in your 30s, but I'm 40. So, okay, so you're exactly my age. So what is self-love with your body? What does self-love look like today?
Oh gosh, self-love with your body. It's so funny because I'm actually in a place right now where I am like, okay, I've had a lot of fun. I've been relaxing, recharging, doing all the things, and now self-love to me feels like getting back into a fitness routine because I have been out of a routine. We actually got corona for like 3 weeks, really, really bad.
I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh. Oh, we're great now. Like I feel like a warrior now. And then we had been traveling. We had kind of one of the craziest, just a crazy year. There was a lot of loss of different people that we loved, our dog, all of the things. So it was just kind of like that year where you feel a bit beat up. So to me, it like self-love during that was just like, okay, you know what, like take care of yourself, because that's number one, because you're not going to be able to handle another punch if it comes, which it can, right? That's life. If you don't eat well and like take care of your mind, because I know when I'm eating too much sugar or drinking too much, I can like have, I'm prone to like, and I think we all are, to be honest, like anxiety or depression or just feeling blue, right?
Yeah, alcohol's a depressant. It's
totally, it's going to make you feel like crap if you're doing it all the time, especially. So self-love this year looked like being really gentle with myself while also making sure I was taking like a daily walk and just like not drinking too much, because that was really easy this year, right? Like just like a break in the day, like not having as much of a routine, and just all of the things. We traveled in an RV for 2 months. I started fundraising, which I've never done in my entire life. So it was just, you're seeking comfort, and I had to keep telling myself that self-love looked like, it looked like being kind to myself, but also like I talk to myself daily. I'm not kidding. I'm like, Lori, you're not going to feel good if you do this. Like, what's going to make you feel better tomorrow? Because today wasn't like a great day. You can hear it in my voice. Like, it's ever changing. It's a day-to-day check-in. Like, today, self-love felt like, get your ass up and run 6 miles. Like, you need to prove to yourself that you can do this again. Like, go get in a routine. And that's what it felt like to me today. And I don't know what it's going to feel like tomorrow. So,
did you run 6 miles this morning?
I did. I'm so proud of myself.
Congrats. That's awesome. That's not a small distance, so good for you. So I'm hearing from you that self-love is ever changing, but the common thread is kindness.
Yes.
And that might look like discipline sometimes.
Yep, absolutely. I think it's like, what is actually going to make you feel better, and go down the long term of what's going to make you feel better, because there are answers like, not eating today is going to make me not feel fat anymore. Well, okay, but what's the long term effect of that? Like, if you don't eat, is that really loving yourself? Because then you're going to binge. You actually feel neglected. You're going to look at things all day, or offers of friends who ask you to go to dinner, and you're going to be like, no, because I'm committed to this, and this is how I'm going to feel better tomorrow. And it's kind of like, okay, how can you still like live your life and make sure that you are actually feeling better? So what would that look like in food? Could you actually eat something that's just more healthy so you feel good, so that you actually have calories for your brain? Because God, that's just another huge thing is I've realized so much about when I was competing. I just didn't even have the bandwidth or mental energy to do anything. And I don't mean to say like bigger than that, but honestly, anything outside of that. Because I was using every single like calorie to just be, right? And it's like, I'm learning, especially now with this business I'm starting, like your mental bandwidth, I mean, you burn so many calories in your brain just with like, if you're learning a ton or you're needing to think, and you really need to be taking care of yourself and nourishing yourself. And I think that that's just something that, you know, can take a really long time to learn.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of like intermittent fasting and, you know, I'm not running that much right now. I'm a big runner, but I'm working on a book project. And I tell you, I'm eating like a kid that's like at triathlon camp. I don't know. I'm just so hungry all the time. And I was like, you know what? I looked at myself. I'm like, I'm not really gaining weight. I don't know where these calories are going. But I think you're right. Your brain burns calories and you just have to love yourself and feel yourself. And yeah, all of it.
Go read or listen to Sean Stevenson's podcast. I just interviewed him. He talks all about it. And it truly, your brain is using, I think I'm going to slaughter it because he's like a researcher and I am not. So your brain uses, when you're really like using your brain, is 30% of your body's caloric intake, which makes so much, you guys don't quote me on that. Like really go read his book. But it made so much sense to me because I do these like large women's events. And it's funny because every year I just like eat so much food before and during it because I'm prepping content and then I'm on stage for 3 days. I'm not working out at all because there's no time and there's no energy. But I swear to you, I'm like, I can't, like I lose weight throughout the whole thing and I'm eating like an animal. And it's because my brain is just like on fire during those events because I'm thinking of 5,000 logistical things along with speaking for, you know, most of the day for 3 days. So 1,000,000%, you're good with your book. I ate like a chocolate bar every single day of my life while writing my book with a latte in the afternoon. So, and I didn't, nothing changed.
Awesome. Well, I love all of this. So anybody working on anything hard using your brain, parenting kids during COVID, just like give yourself a break. Kindness, it sounds like, looks like feeding yourself, not fasting always. So your career has been amazing. You've done, you know, fitness modeling. You then became a coach, a speaker. You run events. Now you're the owner of a rosé flavored wine seltzer company. Maybe you could just give me a kind of the Cliff Notes version of your journey. And then I'd love to talk about how self-love looks like in business with boundaries and kind of some of the things you have set up.
Oh, man. Okay, so first we'll just talk about like the, I've done a lot of different things, but also I've done that over a long period of time. So I always like to point that out. Like it's been a you know, like a 12, 13 year journey of just doing different things. And honestly, a lot of the things build on each other. And I think that people forget that their past experience absolutely applies, even if it was like, you know, I don't know, I've always been a coffee barista for years. And there's so many things that I still think about with that, even in business, like relationships. Like it was such a huge relationship builder and it was such a cool way for me to meet people. And there are people now who I've even like thought of or talked to throughout, you know, the years who have helped me or I've gained, you know, gleaned wisdom from or different things like that. So I just want to say, first of all, it's been a long journey, but at the same time, I've learned like a secret magic lesson to life. And I think I've only learned this through watching other people and experiencing the feelings myself. Our life and body is always telling us everything that we need to know. And I truly believe that, do you know who Rob Dyrdek is?
Yeah, the skateboarder. I come from action sports.
Oh, of course you know who he is. Okay. It's funny because I relate so much, like the people I used to kind of run with, it was always like snowboarding, extreme sports.
That's so cool.
Yeah, all the Warped Tours.
You know, I was the first female journalist for the Warped Tour.
Shut up! That's amazing. Right. Oh, I was all about it. Yeah.
Really? Like, you actually went?
Oh my God, I've been to like 10. Yes.
That's amazing. I never meet anybody who even knows what it is, so that's cool.
Yes, all of everything. All of the cargo pants. I owned all of them.
Wow. Awesome. You're so cool in punk rock, Lori.
I was back in the day. It's so funny. My husband jokes with me because he was like kind of a preppy kid, you know, and I was so not about him at all. And he's like, Lori, when I met you, you had a purse that had spikes all over it and you had Vans on. And I was like, I know, I really did. So anyway, funny. Yeah, it's we were just couldn't have been more opposite. So throughout the years, it was like there are these moments in our lives where I really believe I was listening to Rob Dyrdek. He had come and spoke at a business mastermind that we were at. And he was talking about this theory on following the energy. And he's so extreme with boundaries in his family. And he will only do things that give him energy or lift him up or things that, like, you know, like that he's excited about. And this to me, this was probably 5 years ago now. And while I kind of understood that, it was the most empowering thing for me to actually like get to meet him and talk to him and hear him literally draw the line where he was like, I won't even leave my house if it's someone I'm not excited about. Like, I will not even look at something. I will set a boundary. Like, I won't talk to someone. I won't. Like, he's so strict with his boundaries. It's literally insane. And it gave me so much permission, I think, especially as a woman, because at that point, I was just really in a place where I felt like I had to be everybody's friend, especially online, you know, and let people in and give all my energy. And I was exhausted. I was running memberships. Like, I was, you know, speaking in public. I felt like when I was done speaking, I had to, like, meet everyone, even if it was, you know, 200 or 500 people I needed to mingle. And I'm an introvert. Like, you can imagine how I felt. You know, I can be extremely extroverted, but I recharge away from people. So you can imagine how I felt after these events. I'd go to my room and I would like be sick for 2 days. And so I was like, I can't withhold, like, I can't keep this up. And so hearing him say that, I was like, okay, this is huge. Number one, I'm just going to start to try to do this. But when you start to try to do this, trust me, it's been like a 5-year journey of trying to figure out what that means and what that looks like and setting boundaries and how do boundaries work and what's a great way to set boundaries and, you know, how do you not offend people? And, oh, you are going to offend some people and that's okay too. And so from that, the following the energy thing, I really started to tune into what made me feel good and what didn't. Simultaneously, I was reading a book called, it's by Carolyn Miss, and I think it's Sacred Contracts. And it was talking about how you have different contracts with people in your life and different contracts with, like, your purposes in life. And when these run out, like, you'll feel it. It'll be an energy that's either, like, really exhausting, you know, something will come to a close. And this is kind of in my own words that I ended up writing about in my own book, is talking about how, like, when a relationship or a part of your life, right, like a chapter that you're in, when you overstay that welcome or when you keep that chapter open and it's trying to close and it's trying to go on to the next chapter, it's going to start to expire. Like, and what happens to like an expired onion? Like, it becomes toxic. So it's going to start to feel toxic in your life when you overstay that welcome or that relationship. And we do that all of the time. Like, look at some of our friendships, look at some of our past, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, partners, whatever, like, you're like, oh yeah, that one was real done. And I kept trying to like keep that, resuscitate that one, right? Like, it's just not working. And when I learned this, it just gave me the freedom to be like at peace when relationships were ending, or even if they didn't end the way that I wanted, because some contracts end the way you want and some contracts are meant to not end in a good way. They're actually meant to teach you the lesson that it's up to you to find the peace in figuring out how to have peace, even if it didn't end in a peaceful way. And the more that that is the work for you to just let it go and walk away and let it be okay that maybe that person is going to walk around not liking you or talking shit about you. And that is the work of life, is like letting things go, letting things expire, moving past things. And the whole reason that I got onto this whole tangent that I just took you on was because it's like knowing when a chapter has expired and knowing that feeling is either a feeling of like, you're tired, you're just not excited, you're like trying to keep going and you're pushing this boulder uphill, I know that that is my sign that there's something bigger and I need to start asking, like, what's next? And sometimes it comes right away. Sometimes it takes a year. Like when I moved into this rosé seltzer thing, like there's so many reasons behind it, but it took me a good year to find this. And I asked every day, like, if I had all the money, all the time, and all the network in the world, what would I be doing? Like, what sounds fun to me every day? And what sounds fun to me in my day to day? Not just like what accomplishment sounds fun. It, not like, oh, it's so cool to own this company. But because I, trust me, I've learned, like, no amount of cool if your day to day sucks is cool. So it was like, what is an awesome day today? What are the conversations that are lighting me up? How can I have conversations with these women over here? How can I make sure these women are included in my business? Like, how can I do this other thing? And if I still love to educate, how can I make that a component? So that's really where this came from.
Okay, you just dropped so many good wisdom bombs. I completely appreciate it. I think boundaries and energy, you know, my husband said to me yesterday, Shelby, stop. You have to protect your energy like a mama bear protects her cubs. Like, because I was saying yes to a lot of things and, you know, I like to say yes. I'm a little ADD.
Same.
So part of this also, and I've heard you talk about in other podcasts, and it's been a game changer for your business and allows you to go further, is so you have boundaries, but you also have kindness. Like, you're not only kind to yourself, but you're really kind to the people who work with. Like, I remember listening to a podcast with you and you were talking about, you know, part of making a beverage is you have a formulator and you had to be really nice to this formulator, and it really pays dividends. Like, be kind to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about kindness and like where you figured this out and how you use it.
Oh man, this is so good. And it's such a big lesson. It's just a great reminder for me every day, right? Because when you get busy, sometimes it's hard to take that time to, like, you know, it, to be kind to everyone. Like, you know, to take the extra 30 seconds to ask, how are you, before you jump into a conversation. It's like little things like that are constant reminders of what a leader is. And I'll tell you why it's so important, is because the relationships are the only way to move forward, and they're actually the only real happiness that you'll look back on in life. And it's kind of crazy because Chris's dad passed away in June, and it was a super big surprise. Yeah. He was like the most amazing, epic human. Like, just close to him as my dad. Like, you know, that person that just like everybody wants to be around. And we were sitting at his funeral, and it was like one of the most horrible and beautiful days I've ever experienced in my life, because so many people got up and said, like, when he was with you, he was just present and he always wanted to help and he was the most kind person. And he just took that extra little bit of time to make you feel seen and special and important. And it was just like all of these people, like, just the same thing over and over and over again. And I was like, you know, at the end of your life, that is the impact. Like, all it takes is an extra 30 to 60 seconds with every single person you meet to acknowledge them and see them. And they remember you. And here's why that's also like so important in business, is because I can't tell you how many phone calls I've been on and how many favors I've had to ask for and how many free hours of people's time, who I should not be getting free hours of these people's time, like, is because I was just kind or tried so hard to add value at one point. And continue to add value just by asking a question and thinking, you know, throughout the day. I try to take like 20 to 30 minutes a day just to either go on Instagram and comment and share on somebody's stuff. So every day I try to share something, like if someone's launching something in my circle, or if you know, I see a girl who's really out there, like trying to get ahead or whatever that looks like somebody that I recognize. And then also if there's somebody I can connect via email, just to take that like 10 to 30 minutes a day and do those like one-off connections and go and like shout someone out. It is life-changing and game-changing because they show up for you when you need them.
Mm. Love it. Agree 100%. I was raised in a family where my mom, you know, invited the guy who worked at the grocery store and bagged her groceries to our birthday parties, and the guy at the gym, and like the people at the valet stand would come over for Thanksgiving dinner. And, you know, she taught me at a really young age, like, everyone is brings something to the table. Doesn't matter what their job is, but I think kindness is huge. So, okay, maybe you could just tell us, like, you have this rosé flavored wine. I mean, that's what you're doing right now. Like, what is lighting and giving Lori Harder vitamin joy right now?
Oh, man. Being challenged every day. Like, I am in a new world. And, you know, my brain is very, very active. And if it's not, I tend to, like, get weird. Like, I just, I'm
like, me too.
I don't know. I start to question life and I'm like, well, just, I don't feel great. And I think that that is okay. Like, there's a bunch of us who feel this way. And I don't think there's anything you need to, like, unpack. And I feel like I've unpacked everything I can unpack in my life. You know, I've kind of looked at all the things and it's like, I am not that person who is thriving on, like, I'm striving or starving for accomplishments, because, like, I really let myself take some time and be like, hey, maybe I should just, you know, I've done a lot. I'm doing okay right now. Maybe I should just, like, relax and enjoy life. And I did that. I, like, really tried that, and it was beautiful and it was wonderful. And then the ideas came, and the energy for me is in creation. I am a creator, like, through and through, to the core. I must be challenged. I must create. I want to create with other people. I want to experience that energy and spiral up with other people. I want to experience that magic of the ideas that flow when you're just, like, in connection with other people and you're, like, going back and forth and playing ping pong, like, with your ideas and just what could happen and changing the way that things are, or if there's an industry that you think could improve. Like, I love that. So that's what's lighting me up right now, is just this particular thing is giving me all of those outlets all at once. Creation, connection, collaboration, celebration of other people, like marketing. I love design. It's like all of the components in one. And that is simply because I asked the right questions finally of what I really wanted to do.
Wait, can I ask you what were those questions real quick?
It was if I had all the money, all the time, and all the network in the world, what would I be doing? What would I want my day to day to actually look like?
That's a great question for everybody to ask themselves. Where does humor fit into your life?
Oh, everywhere. Anywhere I can fit humor, it's fitting. You know what? This is so huge, because there was a part of me that felt a little bit muted in my other, like, world of writing, of podcasting, of speaking all the time. And I realized it was because I wasn't able to, like, express my humor. So I am a Sagittarius. I think I'm extremely funny. Other people would totally not agree with that. But when I find the right people, it, like, brings it out. So I literally, like, you guys, this is how, like, intentional I get with my life. I was like, I am missing on being funny. Like, who are the people who I am funny around, and how can I bring that into my day more? So here's the first thing I did. I had an old assistant who was absolutely epic. She left for a job that was more of a promotion for her. I didn't have the space to promote her. She left on amazing terms. We stayed friends. I had the best time around her, and she made me feel really funny, and she's one of the most hilarious people I've ever met. So when she left, I was like, I don't want you not in my life, because I got to experience the me that I love. Like, you know, we love people because they bring out the best in us.
Yes.
And vice versa. And so I was missing that part of me. Like, I was very sad and I was missing her. And so I invited her on my podcast. So once a week we meet, and we just were so ridiculous. Like, I probably lose some listeners, but I definitely gain the ones who get me. So we've been podcasting for like 2 years, because I wanted that intentional fun time in my life where we could be so goofy, stupid, all of the things. And then with Light Pink, which is the rosé wine flavored seltzer, I was like, how do I make this fun? Like, how do I make this light? And it's truly like, I will only, like, fun is our one in our core values. It's like our North Star. So I only want to work with fun people. I only want our meetings to be fun. I only want, like, creation to be fun. And if it's not fun, we're like, why is this not fun? How can we make it more fun? Do we need to change up the scenery? Are we, like, being too serious? Are we taking this too serious? Because let's face it, guys, this is alcohol. So let's have some fun with it.
I love it. Lori, it's been a pleasure to have you and get to know a little bit about your story. I ask everyone who's on the show to give listeners a vitamin joy challenge for the week, like something we can do to cultivate, you know, more vitamin joy, self-love, joy, humor in our lives. Any good tips?
Oh man, I feel like there's so many, but just because we talked about fun, I would say to do at least one thing this week that makes you feel like that version of yourself, like when you're with your best friend. where you're just the most ridiculous, like you feel so accepted, like try to figure out either who that's with or setting something up so you can experience that, because I think it's just so forgotten, even if that just means cultivating. Like if you don't have that person in your life anymore, like start setting the intention of maybe attracting that person or reaching out to people who look that way and cultivating relationships like that.
I love that. And where should people find you? Where's the best place to get your books, listen to your podcast, and buy some yummy light pink beverage?
Thanks for that. Thank you so much. You can go to lightpink.com, and right now it's not out yet. It's going to be out in May or June, but you guys can totally sign up for the newsletter. We're all chatting over there. And then honestly, social media is a really great place for me. So Instagram, because we are always directing people and doing really fun stuff on there. But for the book, everything else is at lauriharder.com.
Lori, you are awesome. For the Vitamin Joy Challenge this week, have more fun. Make it fun. Work, laundry, dishes, whatever it is, do something that makes you feel like you do when you are with your best friend. For me, I'm either going to go roller skating or I'm going skateboarding, and I'm definitely going surfing. And yes, I'm 40, but skateboarding makes me feel 12. Surfing always makes me happy, and I'm really bad at roller skating, but I love it. You can buy Lori's new beverage, Light Pink, and find more on Lori Harder by going to LoriHarder.com. That's LoriHarder.com. Lori's also on Instagram at Lori Harder. She has a podcast called Earn Your Happy. It's really good. My sister Felicia Alexander was on the show. I was just on the show, and I highly recommend listening to it. Thank you again to our amazing sponsors, Lazy Acres Market and FX Chocolate. Go to lazyacres.com, or if you go to fxchocolate.com and enter code VITAMINJOY at checkout, you'll get a discount. They support this show. If you can support them, that would be amazing. Thank you also to Vitamin Joy's amazing audio editor, Jennifer McCord, and to our podcast audiogram creator, Ariana Starkman. Please take a moment when you can to subscribe to the show, rate it, review it, and share it. Reviews honestly mean a ton. They really help the show grow and gain traction. I want you to have more Vitamin Joy. I want others to have more in their lives as well. You can find the show notes for this episode and all the others at shelbystanger.com/vitaminjoy. We'll be back week after next. Please take some time to dose yourself with a little extra Vitamin Joy and spread some to others.